they say, like he said, skydiving. I wrote that down. Skydiving, people want to skydive. Mike would say, why would you want to jump out of a perfectly good plane? I remember George Bush Sr., the old man. That was on his bucket list, he said. He wanted to jump out of a plane, and he jumped out of a plane at 80-some years old. And I remember, I remember seeing that. And he jumped out of a plane. And that was on his bucket list, he said. And people have all kinds of things they want to do. Now, I thought about, I never thought that the church would ever send me to Israel. That was something we always wanted to do, and we got to go. Linda and I got to go and see it. That was a blessing. But man has all kinds of stuff. They want to be rich. That's on their bucket list. They want to skydive. They want to sing like Elvis. They want to sing, be a movie star or something. We had a girl that used to say that she was going to go to Hollywood and wanted to witness to the stars, people want to buy a plane. They want to buy this, a certain plane they want, or a certain motorcycle that's on their bucket list, or a certain boat, or they want to marry a certain woman or a certain man. They have that on their bucket list. They want a certain education. They want to go to a certain school. They want that on their bucket list. They want to do all kinds of, people have all kinds of weird, crazy stuff they want to do. Some things are not, I mean, they're not bad. They're not bad at all if you can afford it. I want to say, God has a bucket list. You know that? Take your Bible, look in Isaiah 40. God has a bucket list, but he don't think too much of it. In Isaiah 40, I want to say this, the devil has a bucket list. And Christians ought to have one. You ought to have one. Isaiah 40, chapter 40, Isaiah is called the little Bible because it's got 66 chapters, like the Bible, it's got 66 books in it. And this chapter of 40 talks about John the Baptist coming. Isn't that something? And this is written about B.C. 712. It was a prophecy about John the Baptist coming. But in Isaiah 40, look at verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with him, with the young. Now, I've just not heard a child say something. If the kids are good in here, they can just stay in here unless you want to take the junior church. How many of you parents want your kids to go to junior church? Is that on your bucket list? You want your kids to go to junior church? All right, go junior church going down. Go ahead. I'll give them a minute. I like the Lord's bucket list. I like it. And what the key to as a child of God is to get my list in line with his list. Amen. To get my list in line with his list. Now, here the Lord talks about, nations going on down. But, the longer you grow and as a Christian, you get closer to the Lord, you start seeing things the way he sees them. You start looking at things the way he looks at it. And then you start realizing how great, your Heavenly Father is. He's great. He's worthy to be praised. This is not something we just do on Sunday. This is our life. It's my life. It should be a Christian's life to serve God. It should be your life. I mean, my whole life. Linda and I got married in 1976. We were 19 years old. We decided we're going to live for God. And we're going to raise our kids for the Lord. And I didn't care what my family said. I didn't care what anybody said. It made no difference to me. But I knew what God did for me. I know where God brought me from. And I know how good he's been to me. So it made no difference to me what they thought, what they did, and what they said. It made no difference. I just prayed and said, Lord, you lead me. You know what hinders a lot of Christians from serving God? Is their family. They're worried about what their family's going to think. I got to the place where I didn't care. I didn't care what they thought. They said, oh, you're brainwashed. Oh, you're just a fanatic. And I said, you can say whatever you want, but I'm going to serve God. I made up my mind. I don't care what you think. And you know what happened? My whole family ended up getting saved because of the result of me taking a stand, my wife taking a stand. You know, it would have been hard for us to raise our kids if my wife wasn't on board with me. And it would have been hard for her to raise our children for the Lord if I wasn't on board with her. So we did it as, you know, we became one when we got married. Now we wanted to be one in our raising of our children. But look at this. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young who have measured the water in the hollow of his hand. The Bible talks a lot about God's hand, God's arm, how strength it is, and in the hollow of his hand. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, you know, I and my Father are one. He also said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give on them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In your hand, in his hand. You know what went through his hands? Nails. And he's got you in his hands. Somebody came up with a song years ago, he's got the whole world in his hand. I said, man, he does, but they didn't know that. They don't know God. Who have measured, I'm prejudging on that, who have measured the water in the hollow of his hand, measured out the heavens with a span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and he says, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who have directed the Spirit of the Lord or being his counselor that taught him? Nobody taught God. Nobody showed God what to do, how to do it. He didn't have to go find counsel from somebody. He didn't have to go over there and say, you think this is going to work out? He knows. He's God. That's hard for us to comprehend that. And the Bible says, "As with whom took he counsel? Who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Look at this. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as small as dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles in a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. The nations of the earth, God said, that's nothing. It's nothing. It's like a drop in a bucket. God has a bucket list. He does have a bucket list. And the Bible says, all nations are to him as nothing. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman made a graven image. See, men, they rather than honoring the God that they cannot see, they want to make a graven image and bow down to it. Worship something. That's where Buddha comes in with the Japanese, the Asian people. And Muhammad came in with the prophet, you know, the prophet Muhammad came in and said the moon god was God. And kill everybody that didn't agree with you. And then you've got what else is there? You know, communism, you say, is that a religion? Yes, it is. It's worship man. And man in education worships their own brain. And they don't want to acknowledge God in all their thoughts. They don't want to think there's a God in heaven that's going to judge them. They don't want to think there's a God in heaven one day they're going to have to stand before and he's going to judge them. And they don't want to think that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh who died for them and paid their sin debt. And if a man doesn't come to him, there's no way in. He says, who are you liking God to? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman made out a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and cast silver chains. He that is impoverished, that he hath to no oblation, chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. You know, you say, what about the Indians? What about the people that never heard? You know, most of them, you go into, like, people went into the dark part of Africa, and they found they had laws. The Africans had laws. The Indians had laws.
They talked about the great white father. They talked about the totem pole, the great white father and all that stuff. They had some laws that was, the Bible says that God had written in their heart. But what happened was, a fellow asked me this week, and he says, man, what about the people that are innocent, never heard? I said, the Bible says when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened. And man, they just didn't want God to control them. They didn't want God to be in their life. God won't control. He won't. We're not Calvinists where God makes you do everything that you're supposed to do. We don't believe that. God's given you a free will. You make up your mind what you want to do. If you want to honor him, you'll honor him. If you don't want to honor him, you won't honor him. If you want to honor man, or you, whatever, you want to honor some other being, a beast or an animal, whatever it is, God said, okay, if you want to go that way, that's up to you. But I love you. I died for you. I paid your sin debt. Why don't you come to me? Him that come to me, I will no wise cast out. My man says, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think there's a God in heaven. You know, every time I run into people, isn't there something how nobody blames the devil for anything, but they always blame God for everything. They blame God for everything. God took my mother. God took my child. God took this. God took that. What about the devil? Does he get any blame? Now look here. To whom would you like you liken God? Or what likeness? Going down to verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. We don't believe in a flat earth. Why? Because the Bible says it's round. Circle. Circle. You know what the flat earth people believe? They believe it's like a flat, and then you got the egg shape on the like a yolk. That's it. That's stupid. That is the stupidest thing I ever heard. They said, man, well, that means you have an edge. You can fall off somewhere. Yeah. And they said, well, no, it's kind of a, you know, no, you got to be stupid. You got to be educated to be that stupid. Amen. It is he, now look what the Bible says, it is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth, the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out. You know what amazes me? God is everywhere and so big, but he still takes time for little old me. He said, but grasshoppers. That's what the Jews said when they went into the promised land. They said, man, we're like grasshoppers to these giants. God said, they're nothing. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll help you. It says, I stretch out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in and bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, he hath created these things, and bring out their loss by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings of an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Father, I pray, God, now you bless your word as we study it this morning. I pray, God, give us power and on high. And, Lord, watch over my lips of clay that I might speak the things that you'd have me say for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, the Lord, the nations are like a drop in the bucket to God. I mean, people down here fighting over gold. They're fighting over this. They're fighting over that, killing each other over a piece of ground. I mean, man, it's a constant battle. Over the 6,000 years of man, there's only been 200 years of peace, and if that. But here, man's still fighting over everything, trying to kill each other over everything, trying to get more power, trying to get more land, trying to get more gold, trying to get more money, trying to get more whatever. They're just fighting and fighting and fighting. And God said, nations are like a drop in a bucket. They're nothing. He said, man, they're nothing. And you know, the devil came to Jesus Christ. Look in Matthew chapter 4. The devil came to Jesus Christ and offered him all these things. He offered the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, Jesus Christ, born in a barn. That's where the parents say, where were you? Close the door, boy. Where were you born in a barn? Jesus Christ was born in a barn. He had nothing, man. He could have been rich. He could have been born in a palace. He could have sat on ivory palace. He could have sat on gold. He could have had silver of abundance. He knew, matter of fact, he knew where all was. I mean, he knows where it's all at. But he didn't even choose that. He never even carried money in his pocket. He just told Peter one time, he said, Peter, they're saying we didn't pay our taxes. He said, go out there and go fishing. And when the first fish you catch, there's going to be a coin in his mouth. Go pay our taxes, all right? Take care of that for us. And Peter goes out there and he goes, oh, man, what am I doing? He said, go out and catch a fish. And there's going to be a coin. He brings that thing in. All of a sudden, man, there's a coin in that fish's mouth. He goes, man, this is something. God knows everything. He knows it all, and they paid their taxes. But the devil came to Jesus Christ when he was tempted. He went 40 days and 40 nights without eating. You try that sometime. Try one day without eating. Try to fast and pray for about 24 hours. See how hard it is. I'm telling you, folks, it's tough. I mean, try to pray for maybe and fast for about 2 days. Just try that sometime. Man, your body will beat you up. It'll tell you all kinds of things. It'll tell you that you're going nuts. It'll tell you, man, I'm going to kill you. Your tongue's going to swallow down and your stomach's going to eat it. I mean, all kinds of stuff is going to happen. And your body will go all absolutely crazy. But Jesus Christ, after he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil takes him up into a high mountain. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came unto him and said, if thou be the Son of God, question his authority. If thou be the Son of God, question his deity. If thou be the Son of God, that's what the devil does all the time. Questions whether God is who he says he is. I'm going to tell you something. He is who he says he is. You know, the Bible tells us one day we're going to see the devil come in and we're going to see the devil tremble and we're going to see the devil get cast out. We're going to see it according to the Word of God. You say, you believe that book? I believe God's Word. I don't believe what man says. I'm not going up to the University of Delaware or any other university to find out what God thinks. I'm not going there because they don't know God. They don't even know what God thinks about. But, man, I'm going to go to the Word of God. I'm going to check out what God says. You say, man, this book is alive. It's real. It's on fire. This book's alive. I'm telling you, man, this book is right. Thank God for it. In Matthew chapter 4, the devil takes him up and says, hey, all these, if you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And then it says, and he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeded out of the mouth of God. You know what you got? You got the Word of God. It's proceeding out of the mouth of God. You're supposed to live by that. Look at here. Look what else he says. Three times the devil tempts him. Three times. Three times Jesus Christ answers him and gives him scripture. Three times. And then the devil said, the devil taking them up, verse 5, up into a holy city and set them on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Why? Why did the devil show him all the kingdoms of the world? Why? The devil had control of them. When man sinned, man relinquished the keys to the devil. And man, Adam, when Adam sinned because he loved his bride, and he turned around and gave the keys up to the kingdoms of this world. But you can tell what God really thought about it. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you can tell what God thought about money by the kind of people he gave it to. You think God's worried about money? No. We are. I mean, man's bucket list. I want to get rich. I want to hit the lottery. I want to get this. I want to get that. Get more power. God's going, oh, that's a drop in the bucket. That's nothing. Look at here. Amen. Dropped it in the bucket. And look at verse, again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And Jesus said unto him, all these things will I give. He said, and then saith unto him, all these things will I give unto thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. I mean, brother, The devil offered Jesus Christ all those things. Why? He had control of them. Now take your Bible, look back to Isaiah chapter 14. Go back to Isaiah 14. I'm going to show you something. You know what the devil's desire? I'll tell you what the devil's bucket list is. God's bucket list is that the nations are just nothing to him. They're nothing. You know what means something to God? You say, well, Israel means something to God. But I'll tell you what means something to God is you. And the devil knows that God's got his eye for you. And to the devil, all the kings of this world, he's got. He's got control of them. The devil wants power. He wants worship. He said, if you'll fall down and worship me, to Jesus Christ, man, I tell you what. In the Bible, Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. Now, let me ask you this. Who are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? If you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something. Why? Because worship is built inside of us. You'll worship something. Amen. Your bucket list, being rich, women, men, houses, lands, all these things. You say, what's wrong with that? Having the riches, nothing. If God gives it to you. Houses, God gives it to you. You work hard for it. You get it? But don't sacrifice the ultimate or the permanent on the altar of immediate. Don't sacrifice what God wants you to do to get what you want. You don't sacrifice those things. But Isaiah 14, here's what the devil said. Here's what the devil said in Isaiah 14. The devil has a bucket list. And here's his bucket list. I'm going to show you God's bucket list back again. But here's the devil's bucket list. The devil has a bucket list. He wants worship. Look what he says in Isaiah 14. He said in Isaiah 14, verse 12. He said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That was his name, Lucifer. Lucifer got 8 letters in it. Or 7 letters, I'm sorry, 7. 7. All the names in heaven that God gave was 7 letters. Jesus Christ shows up in Isaiah, and he's called Emmanuel. He's called Emmanuel. That's 8. Why? New beginning. The devil shows up. His name's Lucifer. And he said, how art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Notice that? He said, you weaken the nations. All these nations fighting. I read in the book of Judges, man. You read through there and you read history of mankind. It's been war after war after war after war, killing innocent women, children, everything, killing. We said, well, where was God at? God has always there. But man says, get out of my life. You don't need to control me. I'll do what I want to do. So man goes on and does his thing. And God's sitting on the sideline saying, come on to me, all you labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And man says, no, I ain't going to do that. The devil's saying, follow me. Look at here. Well, he said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? For thou hast said in thine heart, here's what the devil's bucket list. He says, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. He says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I gotta have it. He says, I will sit upon the congregation or the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's where God's throne is, sides of the north. That's why he put the North Star out there in space so you can have direction. He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And you know what God says? Look on down. He said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You know what the Lord does? The devil's bucket list was, I want to be God. I want to control everything. He offers Jesus Christ all the kings of the world. Here, Jesus Christ walked around, just had sandals on. He worked with his hands. Let me tell you this. Jesus Christ wasn't no sissy. He wasn't no sissy. He worked with his hands. His father was a carpenter, stepfather. He worked with his hands. And when he started his ministry, he started and he wanted no money, no nothing. Nobody in their right mind would want to start a ministry with no money and nobody following him. Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and says, hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Come on. And they just started following him. And how are you going to take care of them, Lord? I'll take care of them. And hey, you want to pay your taxes? Go get a fish. How are you going to feed them? Man, the Lord just for 3.5 years took care of his disciples, took care of 5,000, 4,000, feeding of them, more than that, men and women, children, probably 10,000. He took care of them. I mean, God's got a bucket list. The devil's got a bucket list. Look in Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at God answers the devil. He answers when the devil said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. You better got to watch out for that I wills. You better say, Lord willing, if the Lord help me, I'll make a living. You know what? You could be set out to try to be a millionaire, try to be this, try to be that. You have a heart attack and die. Whose is it going to be then? You better put your trust in God, not in your bank account or in your job. You know, people put a lot of trust in their jobs, especially with Chrysler and GM and all that up there. And what happened? They shut down. You'll lose everything. You better trust the Lord, man. You better trust God. What I'm saying this morning, God's got a bucket list. And to God, the nations and everything don't mean beans. The devil's got a bucket list. They mean something to the devil. He wants control. He wants worship. You read your Bible, you read the book of Revelation, you'll find out. You'll find out what the devil's got planned. Look at here. Look in Isaiah, what did I say? Ezekiel 28. Look at this. The Lord answers the devil. In Ezekiel 28, the Lord answers when he says, I will, I will, I will, I will. God says, okay, let me show you what I'm going to do. I'll show you what I'm going to do. And the Bible says, this whole chapter is talking about the devil himself. Look what it says. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, that thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art man and not God. Though thou set thine heart as a heart of God, behold, thou art wise. Thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can hide from thee. By thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. And therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, and the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their sword against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness, and they shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. Will thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. And then he goes on down, verse 13. How you know this is the devil? He said, thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond. The devil had stones built in. Beautiful stones. The Bible says the devil had pipes built in him for music. That's why the devil knows music better than anybody alive. He'll take music to damn you with. Movies, everything has to have music with it. Even when you go into restaurants, the devil used music to damn people. That's why we sing when we come into church. It prepares your heart to worship God. Just think if we had I was looking at some things in these magazines about church pianos and all that stuff. Now what they're showing is churches look like nightclubs. They got strobe lights. They got the band up there and everybody's dancing around. And it's like a rock concert to go to. That's what it looks like now. And man, these people, they're worshiping, but they're not worshiping the real God. They don't worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But look what he says. He says the jasper and the sapphire, emerald and carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth. And I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. That's how you know it's the devil. He says, thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. When people start telling me they believe in evolution, they say, oh, evolution is it, man. I said, well, isn't it supposed to be man supposed to be getting better? Man's supposed to be developing and educating and developing into this new way of thinking. Why is it that we have all the violence and the killing? I just saw a man, a little boy, 12 years old, found in the woods dead. They don't know why. Another kid gets, just constant junk going on. You know what? He said, what's the answer? It's God's fault. No, man chose to kick God out a long time ago. God's got a bucket list. And I'm going to show it to you. He's got a bucket list. I'll tell you what, he's going to come back and he's going to take care of the devil's bucket list. And look at this. He says, verse 17, he says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Devil never shows you, when it comes to sin, he never shows you its ugly part of it. Whenever you see sin, like they're showing you, whiskey bottles and a girl standing there pouring, so all my men drink this. As a beautiful girl, he always shows it, paints it up real beautiful. But they don't show you a guy in the hospital dying of liver cancer. They don't show you that. He don't show you none of that stuff. He don't show you all the hurt and the pain that people go through and the children and all that. He don't show you none of that stuff. He always shows you that pretty part to get you enticed, to get you hooked. That's the way he does it. He says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. Look what he says. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. God says, I'm going to bring a fire from inside you, boy. I remember I went to Sights and Sounds the first time I went up there, and man, they were showing where Jesus Christ was being born, but they brought this scene in there. I'm sitting there, I was still like a little kid sitting there watching this thing, and man, all of a sudden the music changes, and this angel guy, it was a guy, on a cable, he comes flying out, it was the devil. The music changed, he was in black. I mean, that had to be a pretty bold guy to come out there on a cable, flying around, through the Sights and Sounds. Now, I remember looking up, and the music's changing, and he starts coming down. Then when Herod starts pronouncing, we're going to kill every child from 2 years old and over, under, and then he starts giving this, and the music's changing. And all of a sudden, man, he's coming down close to the child. He's got a sword in his hand. And out of nowhere, the music changes, and this other guy, dressed in white, like Michael the archangel, comes flying out. It was just put on. But he comes flying out, and he has his sword, and he hits the devil in the chest, and fire shot out of this guy. Man, I was so engulfed in that thing. I remember I stood up, and I went, kill him! Kill him! Kill him! Everybody in the whole place got quiet, and then they started laughing. I'm yelling, kill him! It was just fake. But one day we're going to see it. We're going to see the devil get cast down. The Bible says fire is going to come out. You know why? We sing that song, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. I'll tell you what, the sooner you realize you're on the winning side, you're saved, trying to live for God, the better you'll be. A lot better you'll be as a Christian. A lot better. Stop thinking, oh, man, it's going to change. You know, you keep doing something that doesn't work. You know what that is? That's stupidity. It's not going to change. Why don't you live for God? Give God it all. And then Bible says, fire is going to come in the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that beheld thee. The Lord answers the devil, says, all this is going to happen to you. You run your mouth. You say that you're going to descend like above the throne of God. You know, God's got a bucket list. Look in Isaiah 9. Look in Isaiah 9. Oh, I could show you a thousand verses on this. I mean, a thousand. You know, people that didn't believe the Bible was true about things going on in the world, they're starting to kind of lean towards the Bible. Why? Because all the stuff that's going on. You know, there's 20-some wars going on right now in the world. At any given time, there's 20-some wars going on. People are dying. The answer is Jesus come back. Here's God's bucket list. Unto us a child is born, verse 8 or 6. Unto us a son is given. and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Between that two phrases is over 2,000 years. He's born, and now the government is going to be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. Hallelujah. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now look what it says. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. You know what David did? David made a covenant with God. He made a covenant with God, and God made a covenant with him. And here David's mentioned that he's going to be in with when Jesus Christ is on this earth. He's going to be in it. And man, God, this is God's bucket list. When his son gets to rule and reign his rightful place. Man, that's God's bucket list. You read the book of Revelation. It talks about Jesus Christ called the Ancient of Days. You read through there and you read at the end in Revelation chapter 19, Jesus Christ tells everybody, mount up on the white horses and we start coming back with him. I'm going to say this. What every Christian's bucket list ought to be, it ought to get tied in with God's bucket list. Now, I'm not saying God's the one that he's a vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But I'm saying as a child of God, we got a Bible that tells us how to live, how to act, how to live for God, how to raise your children, how to make a living, how to feed your family. I mean, all these things, the Bible tells you how to do it. God tells you how to do it as his child. That should be in our bucket list. Man, we got all kinds of crazy things we want to do. But man, you know what? I found out most Christians do not have a spiritual bucket list when it comes to living for God. They have made plans for that. I said, when my wife and I got married, we made plans. I'm going to serve God. I said, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to serve God with you. We made our plans. We're going to serve God. I don't care what. We're serving God. We're going to put him first. Look in John chapter 15. I could go through a whole bunch of these things. We ain't got time. But John chapter 15, look at this. John 15, this Christian, I tell you what, this ought to be in your bucket list that I'm just going to sell out to God. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to show me things. I'm going to tell you something. You start asking God things like that and you sincerely sing to him and you sincerely pray to him, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see some things happening. You'll see things going on. And most Christians never get to experience the Lord Jesus Christ walking in their life like he wants to. He has a bucket list. God has a bucket list. He wants you to live for him. He wants you to honor him. He wants you to be a part of him, which you are if you're saved, but he wants to be a part of you in your life. Look what he says, John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. We mean purging. He cuts some bad stuff out. When I got saved, I had so much bad stuff in my life that as I read the Word of God, he starts cutting it out. He started taking it away. And I kept saying, Lord, I don't want that in my life no more. My father put beer in my milk bottle when I was a baby. I drank that beer like it was going out of style. I stole a Colt 45 truck, a whole truck one time, went out and stole the whole truck and unloaded it, and I was giving everybody, I was supplying drinks for everybody. I was 14, 13 doing that. Man, I got saved. God took that stuff away from me. For a year after I was saved, I was up and down for about a year, up and down, up and down, up and down. And I finally said, I'm sick of that, God. I don't want to be up and down. I don't want to live like this. Help me. My problem was I couldn't read. My wife started reading to me. I wanted to know God. I wanted to get closer to him. I still want to get close to him. God's got a bucket list. The devil's got a bucket list. He's come to seek, destroy, to lie, to steal. That's his bucket list. He wants to be above God. And a lot of Christians let the devil be above God in their own life. Or your flesh, your man's way of thinking, above God in your own life. Look what he says in John 15. Now you are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. See that thing? You get clean by reading the word of God. Abide in me. Look what he says. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No man can, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him. Look what it says. The same bringeth forth what? Fruit. Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. God's bucket list for you, if we can get our bucket list lined up with his, is that you bring forth fruit. That's not just money. That's your life. Everything. Your children. Your home. Your everything. Your job. Everything. You know what that Bible says? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's what a fellow young rich man asked Jesus. Said, what's the first and greatest commandment? Jesus tells him, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The problem was the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. Jesus said, give everything you got away and come follow me. And the guy says, I can't do that. He said, you'll have riches in heaven. You know what the Lord does? He provides for you down here. He'll take care of you here. Provide for you. Meet your needs. He said he would. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said he'll meet your needs. He didn't say all your wants. But if you'll just give that to him, he'll take care of it. Look what else he said. He said, he abide, I in him, the same, bring forth much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. For if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them. You know, folks, a Christian, a saved man can wither up. A saved woman can wither up, bear no fruit, none. You know what? I'd be concerned if I didn't bear fruit. I'd be concerned for my life and my family and my children. If I didn't bear fruit, I'd be concerned. A child of God can wither up. Jesus walked by that fig tree. I've used that many thousands of times. He walked by that fig tree and went to get fig. It said it was out of season. But the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be in season, out of season, no matter what, serving God. He went by that fig tree and he cursed it, said, nothing will grow from you. And the thing withered up. A child of God can wither up. You know how many children of God, you know what a child of God does when they wither up? They'll be depressed. They'll be discouraged. They'll try to find happiness in all the wrong places. Go to drugs, drinking, carrying on. And then the Lord takes them home because of they follow the devil's bucket list, not God's. Bible says this, verse 70, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done on you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so loved I you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken on you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. Here's a commandment. This is not a suggestion. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. There's a lot of Christians that can't stand other Christians. Hate them. He says, love one another. You know, I've said this. I told somebody this week, I said, you know, you ladies, I thank God for the older ladies in our church. They taught our younger ladies that's in their 40s now, and they taught them girls, them women, how to love their husbands, how to raise their children. They did those things. I thank God for the older women in the church that did that. But we got another generation come along. We got a generation that don't want to teach the young ladies how to do that, how to love their husband, and they always got an attitude. When they should be stepping up, being the ones to show examples to the younger women. And the younger married women with children ought to be showing the ones that don't have children how they ought to be doing it. And then the ones that's married, they ought to show the teenage girls how they ought to love their husband. It ought to be it's just a step. Same with the men. I'm not getting the men. The men ought to be doing the same thing. Love one another. When you got people just stuck up mad all the time, there's something wrong. Anger lies in the bosom of a fool. You fool. He says, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. I mean, folks, I could go on this bucket list that Christians ought to be doing. The Bible tells you in Ephesians chapter 5. I mean, then it says, he which are spiritual, talking about in Galatians, he that is spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You're supposed to be a spiritual person. You're supposed to be trying to help somebody be restored. You know, the Bible tells us that don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together as a man or some is. That's why church is so important. The devil don't want you to go to church. He don't want you to sing praises. He don't want that. He wants to try to keep you away, so you isolate you so he can destroy you easier. The Bible talks about singing. We had somebody call and say, y'all singing at that church? Yeah, we sing. Well, you got to be 13 feet apart. I said, stupid. Stupid. Singing, give praise to God. If I went out there to your car, found out what you're singing, then I'll find out what you really are. The way you are. The way you think. If you listen to that country music, you know that country music. Right now, the country music is the old 60s rock and roll. And, you know, now it's just all moved towards one thing. Like I said, the devil knows music. And boy, it makes you want, I know there's certain music that I can listen to. It makes me want to race a car. You know, the old time, you know, the old 50s song, man, that was all about racing. And so when I turned that, man, it makes me want, I have to turn this junk off. I come across the radio and I go, oh, I start listening to that for a second. And the Lord said, hey, you better turn that off. I'll turn it off. Ephesians 5 tells us that we should be singing hymns. I mean, say this. Go to 1 Corinthians. I'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 2. What's in your bucket list? Do you desire to get closer to God? Do you desire to bring forth fruit? Do you desire to be well-pleasing in His sight? But most people, all we got on our mind is, what is in it for me? How can I get better and more money and more of this and better looking wife and better looking husband and all kinds of crazy stuff. Christians. 1 Corinthians 3, it says, verse 1, I said 2, but 3. Look what Paul says. He said, this Corinthian church was messed up. When you read the book of Corinthians, Paul was trying to straighten out this church. It was the church of Corinth. And he's trying to straighten them out. Look what he says to them. And we got the same, every church, any Bible-believing church still got the same stuff going on. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as on the carnal, even as on the babes in Christ. If you're saved and you're a baby and you just got saved, say, how many of y'all just been saved this year? Just been saved this year? Raise your hand. One, two, three. All right. Maybe it might be more. But if you just got saved, you ought to have a desire to grow. Just like that baby that Miss Brittany has, Brother Michael has, that baby is growing. You can't say to that baby, stop, stop, stop. As long as it's eating, it's growing. As a child of God, as long as you're eating from the Word of God, you're growing. Can't help it. You're growing. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He says, but I couldn't speak to you as spiritual. That's a shame. When I'm talking about spiritual things, it's a shame when people go, oh, what are you saying, what? But he says, as on the carnal, carnal. Carnal Christians is always thinking about the flesh. Always thinking about me. All, my biggest goal in life as a carnal Christian is me. We teach our kids, don't think, just say me. Are you a spiritual Christian? He says, take your Bible, look at this. I've said that was the last spot, but here, one more. One more. 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter. What's in your spiritual bucket list? Should line up with the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2. I was riding down the road and I heard somebody say, hey man, I got this, I was listening to a talk show, and the guy goes, yeah, I got this bucket list. And that's what made me think about it. And I started thinking about, God says, nations are like a drop in a bucket. I thought, think about that. And I said, man, people have bucket lists, but Christians ought to have a list where I want to grow. I want to know God. I want my children to know God. Your children, let me tell you, parents, your children are not going to know God unless you know God. God wants you to know him. It's not like God's hiding somewhere and says, come find me if you can. He's right there waiting on you. 1 Peter 2, look at verse 5. He says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up, this is your job, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. God wants you to grow up in him. He wants you to intercede. I could go through a bunch of other things. He wants you to intercede for others. He wants you to witness to others. Mike was talking about that this morning. He wants you to be a witness for him. When you read this book, God talks to you. When you pray, you talk to God. When you're out there passing out tracts, witnessing to people, telling them about Jesus Christ, you're talking for God. What's in your bucket list? Does God have anything in there? Is there anything spiritual in there? Or is everything carnal in there? What I want to do, what I want to be, not what God wants. You know what Jesus said when he hung on the before he hung on the cross in the garden? He said, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Are you in the will of God? Has God got any say in your life? He's not going to force himself. He will never force himself. He'll say, come on to me. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. He walked by the Sea of Galilee. Hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. You've got to make that choice. I'm glad my wife and I made that choice. Here we are 45 years later. Still married. Still love each other. Still want to serve God. Still want to teach our children about him. Our grandchildren. If we live long enough, maybe we'll have great-grandchildren. You know why? We know it works. God's way always works. Always. Say, how do I start this thing out? Read your Bible every day. Read your Bible, even if it's a chapter a day. Read a Bible. Start out. I had to start reading my Bible. I wanted to read. I had to start reading. I had to start praying. I remember when I got saved that night, a preacher said, why don't you pray? I said, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. You know what I had to do? I had to learn. It's like anything else. When I wanted to be a mechanic, I had to start and learn. I wanted to be a roofer, I had to start and learn. I wanted to do this, I had to start and learn. You got to start and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to fellowship with you. I want my bucket list to be like yours, what you have. This world offers you all kinds of stuff. The devil will offer you all kinds of stuff. He'll try to sidetrack you. But keep your mind on him. And the Lord will guide you through. Spiritual. Singing. Praising him. Studying the Word of God. Be in the church. You know, I see people, they shoot right out of the church right after it's over. Shake somebody's hand. Try to be friendly. He that have friends must show himself friendly. I told that to a guy the other day. I said, he that have friends must show himself friendly. You can't have friends if you don't show friendliness to them. God expects that from his children. Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy. I pray, God, that you'd bless my brothers and sisters this morning. Help us, Lord, to get things in order, Lord, that we ought to have. There's nothing wrong with having a nice job, making good money. There's nothing wrong with those things, as long as we don't put them things before you. Anything that we put before you, God, becomes a God. And Lord, I pray, God, don't let us put nothing before you. Help us to put you first in everything. Everything we do. The Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. The things that we have need of. The things we long for. And Lord, you said you just give us handfuls on purpose, like Ruth. Ruth was gleaming in the field. She was this old Moabitess woman. She was nobody. She was gleaming in the field. And Boaz said, just give her some handfuls on purpose. And God, you've given us handfuls on purpose, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to stay in line with you. Help us not to get cross-side with you, Lord. Crossways with you. Help us always keep our hearts and mind on thee. Help my brothers and sisters, Lord, to fall in love with you. Like Brother Mike was talking about this morning, Sunday school. We ain't got to worry about people when they fall in love with God. When they fall in love with you, Lord, they're on the right path. Oh, God, help us to fall more in love. We help Faith Baptist Church to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, I pray, God, you help us, Lord, God, as a church to continue on wanting to see people saved. Thank you for George and his son visiting with us this morning. Thank you for the Bilbos being here today. And thank you for the Fryers being here today. I pray you bless them. Help them, oh God. My Father, thank you for Jack and Viola. I get her name wrong all the time. But I pray, God, thank you for her being here today. Bless them, I pray. My Father, meet the needs. Save the soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.